Good morning.
Good morning.
This practice is the exact transmission of a verified Buddha. Our Zazen this morning is the body and mind of Buddha. It's complete and whole. There's nothing outside of it. It's the integration of mind and body. It is receptive. We accept all the information, the data, the sensations from the universe, not rejecting, not picking and choosing. We accept it all as the perfect expression of the causes and conditions from beginningless time right up to this moment. This is our intimacy with the whole universe. This is our interconnection with all things. The in-breath, the out-breath is the whole universe. I wanted to talk about the healing nature of this practice today. Healing is connected to the word whole, entire, in our obscure Anglo-Saxon dialect called English. Healing is wholeness. And our practice, as we just chanted, is wholeness, completeness, nothing outside. In thinking about today's lecture, I was influenced by the discussion of Catherine's teaching and influence that we had Wednesday night with Jean and Natalie Goldberg and Wendy Johnson. So I might veer off into some of my recollections of Catherine's teaching on Zazen and wholeness. But this religion of ours, Buddhism, asks us to directly experience our life and the whole universe. It asks us to do something, which is sit cross-legged with our spine straight, following our breath. This is called an orthopraxic religion. We get right with our practice. We get right with our bodies and minds. As opposed, but not maybe excluding, but as opposed to orthodoxy, getting right with doctrine, I think we stress getting right with our body, getting right in there in our body. I've told the story before of reading Suzuki Roshi's Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind for many years and being inspired by it, but always skipping those first chapters on sitting and posture. This is before I came to Zen Center. I had that book for many years. And certainly it was inspiring, and ultimately it did point me towards the front door of 113 School Street here, Santa Cruz Zen Center. But I had to finally sit down when I got here. And this was the introduction to my body that Catherine cultivated for the next 20 years. I had to really be in this body and experience this body before I could really understand some of the ideas, the wisdom, and ideas about emptiness, even compassion. I had to be in this body. Catherine encouraged this thorough exploration and investigation of the body when emotions would arise. Catherine would direct us to explore where that emotion was living in the body. Was there tightness someplace? Was there numbness someplace? Where did I hold this emotion in my body? Was there heat? Was there cold? This was the thorough investigation of that feeling, not just thinking about it, but looking where it resided in my whole body. We would get more information, more data about that feeling, that emotion, that thought, if we did this thorough exploration of the body and mind. We weren't leaving out anything. It really was this integration. It really was accepting all the information that came to us. We started a relationship with this non-verbal, imperceptible information. Of course, the sensations that we first experience in the body are nonverbal before we start thinking about it and analyzing it. So we got more intimate with this nonverbal knowing. The body can really be a gateway to the non-conceptual aspect of our life, the imperceptible causes and conditions that are our lives. For instance, we know the people that we love in our life, not just by what they've talk to us about, you know, quack, 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 quack. You know, it's not just, we're not connected to them just because of that, but because of their touch, because of the food we share with them, because of their temperature, the sound of their footsteps. We're experiencing people with all of our senses, and maybe even with none of our senses. But certainly it's not all about words and ideas and concepts. I mentioned Wednesday night that Catherine had said more than once, I'm sure, Zen is your life. And when I heard that, I immediately got closer to my body. I immediately was closer. I was immediately was in touch with my body. I knew when she said that Zen wasn't about my work or where I was born or where I was living, the things that I could name and identify. When Catherine said, Zen is your life, it's about breath, it's about sex, it's about food, it's about control, power, it's about shame, the things that the body knows, the things that the mind glances, but that live in the body. The body clearly knows. And that's why we take this posture with our body. Why we come here period after period, day after day, and we sit up straight and we follow our breath. We adjust our posture. And we experience our life in our bodies, breath after breath, for 40 minutes. I came to Zazen, like a lot of people, I think, for different reasons. We might come here to relieve stress, to tolerate stress, to tolerate our lives. We certainly meet nice people here. We come here for the company. We might even be searching for deeper answers. What do we say? What does it say out there on the Han? The great matter. We may have heard that Zen and meditation helps us understand the great matter. I came in 93. Grieving, still reeling from the HIV crisis and people that I'd lost, and was wondering about the sense or the senselessness of it all. And but coming to do Zazen for understanding, to better ourselves, to get along better with each other, is a good, healthy exercise. It's kind of like taking yoga class at the 24-hour fitness center. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good, healthy exercise. But I think that if Zazen were just that, that none of us would be here today, sitting here period after period, or coming here at 5:45 in the morning like I know many of us do, or signing up for the 5-day and 7-day sesshins throughout the year. We might always enjoy the stillness, the quiet, the garden, the flowers. We might be inspired occasionally by a talk or a class. But we're here because we've sat a few periods of Zazen and over time discovered that Zazen was our life. It's settling into our life. It's being with and investigating our life. It's about intimacy with ourselves and the rest of the universe. It's experiencing our life as it is, right here in this moment. We might have an understanding of the universe that we appreciate because of sitting. We may have learned patience and stillness. But Zazen is each breath, our life, right now. It's the perfection of the causes and conditions right now. It's nothing else than the whole universe right now. Sitting here, our legs are doing Zazen. Our shoulders are doing Zazen. Our mudra is doing Zazen. The mind in Zazen is really unfettered, free. It's not stopping and holding on, getting stuck. Our heart is engaged, open, accepting everything without discrimination, experiencing connection. And this is our life, moment by moment, breath by breath. Buddha taught this early on. And I have to say that I think Catherine taught the Four Foundations of Mindfulness Sutra probably in the first year I was here, and we spent a couple of years on it. She tended to do three class series a year of, you know, 6 to 8 classes, not unlike we do now. And we just kept going through a couple of years, and I think maybe 5 of those 6 class series over the 2 years was about the breath and the body, even though there were 3 other foundations of mindfulness. We looked at the breath and the body over and over. Mindfulness, and especially mindfulness of the breath, really is our zazen. And the Buddha really wanted us to take a good look at this. From the opening paragraph, he says, "Monks, this is the direct path for the purification of beings, for surmounting sorrow and lamentation, for the disappearance of suffering and discontent, for acquiring the true method, for the realization of nirvana, namely the Four Foundations of Mindfulness." So, abiding in our breath and body is the relief of suffering, is the surmounting of sorrow and lamentation. He said in his early lectures, this is the direct path. I think Dogen might say, our body, our breath, our zazen is the direct expression of a purified being, of Buddha. And how, monks, do we regard and abide in the body, contemplating the body? Here, gone to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut, the monk sits down, having folded his legs crosswise, set his body erect, and established mindfulness in front of him. Mindful, the monk breathes in. Mindful, the monk breathes out. Breathing in long, the monk knows, I breathe in long. Breathing out long, the monk knows, I breathe out long. Breathing in short, the monk knows, I breathe in short. Breathing out short, the monk knows, I breathe out short. The monk trains thus. I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body. I shall breathe out, experiencing the whole body. I shall breathe in, calming bodily formations. I shall breathe out, calming the bodily formation. Just as a skilled turner or his apprentice, when making a long turn, knows, I make a long turn, or when making a short turn, knows, I make a short turn. So, breathing in long, he knows, I breathe in long. So this is what the Buddha said about our breathing and about our body and about our mindfulness. It's paying close attention to our breath and our body. And this very thing, this posture, this breath, is the direct expression of purified beings, of the Buddha. This is the whole thing. This is the complete thing. There's nothing outside of it. There's nothing outside to achieve. There's not a better way of understanding the world that we're going to get to by sitting here. That's what it means, that there's nothing outside of it. It's whole, it's complete, right here. We carry wounds on these human karmic bodies, wounds on our flesh, wounds in our heart, wounds in our mind, where we feel that something is separated, whether it's physically, skin doesn't touch the other piece of skin anymore, or whether there's a hole in our heart that's causing us lamentation and sorrow, or whether we're ruminating and worried in our mind. We're just not whole, we're not together. And this practice is our wholeness and the relief from sorrow and lamentation. Because there is nothing else but the whole universe in this practice. Inherently, it's a healing practice. Our predispositions for separating and naming and thinking and suffering, it's a way to come back into our body, into this body and mind that is whole and undivided and connected, warmed, nurtured by the whole universe. Dogen writes a fascicle about Zazen. I wonder if he wanted to think of this fascicle, Zazen Shin, about healing. This is a different Shin than we know, Zazen Shin. This Shin is a needle. And Kaz Tanahashi translates Zazen Shin as the point of Zazen. This is the point of it all. But Shohaku Okamura calls this fascicle the acupuncture needle of Zazen. That really underlines how this practice reminds us of our wholeness, of our completeness, of the nurture, the nurturance, what's the word, that we experience from the whole universe. This fascicle looks at two famous koans, ones that we've studied over and over again. Yakusan Igen was sitting. A monk asked him, "In steadfast sitting, what do you think?" Yakusan replied, "Think not thinking." The monk asked, "How do you think not thinking?" Yakusan replied, "Beyond thinking." I like Kaz's description of non-thinking. In contrast to thinking and not thinking, non-thinking describes the unrestricted mind in Zazen, in which one tries neither to develop nor to suppress thoughts, which are continually arising. Neither to develop nor suppress. I think that's where I came up with. It's really a free and unfettered mind. We usually think that we're constricting our thinking in some way, but it's really unrestricted, that we're just not getting stuck over and over again in fits and starts and solidifying our bodies and minds with ideas, with tension, that we're in this posture, period after period, breath after breath, spine straight, chin in. It's kind of cavorting. It's kind of a dance. Not getting stuck. Reveling in our connections. I think that's why at the end of our 5 days or our 7 days, when we're so tired, we can all circle around the patio with big smiles on our faces because we've been cavorting and dancing day after day, breath after breath with each other. Kind of like, you know, Charlie, our frequent Tenzo, does country dancing, Scottish country dancing. Not getting stuck, not doing the same step over and over, but holding our thoughts lightly, feeling that we're connected, feeling the dancing around us. beyond thinking, dancing. Catherine, was really doing some subtle exploration of her body and mind the last several years of her life. She started going to this Korean acupuncturist in San Jose. I drove her there a few times. Very old man. He ultimately went back to Korea, and that's what stopped her going over the hill to him. He retired and went back to Korea, but it was acupressure that he was doing with Catherine. I don't know the real basics of that practice, but I think it's about subtle energies, acupuncture and acupressure, exploring those subtle connections in our bodies and in our minds, freeing them, learning about them, experiencing them. And then when he went back to Korea, she started with an energy worker here in Santa Cruz that she worked with for several years. And she would tell me the experiences she had in her body to these very subtle energies, the places that she discovered were stuck, that could be freed up, the connections that she found. I always attributed this kind of exploration that she did as this part of this first foundation of mindfulness, of a very subtle mindfulness of the energies of the body, and this exploration of this body that is Buddha, a very subtle exploration of our Buddha body, wanting to free it up, wanting it to dance as much as possible. And this was a practice, a new practice for her after 50 years of thinking, not thinking, beyond thinking. It led her to this kind of very subtle mindfulness. The other koan in the acupuncture needle of Zazen, in this healing nature of Zazen that Dogen explores with us, is polishing the tile. Mazu was a student of Nanyue, and Nanyue asked Matsu, "Virtuous one, what's your intention in doing Zazen?" Matsu answered, "My intention is to become a Buddha." They sat there for a while. Nanyue, the teacher, picked up a tile and started to polish it against a rock. And Matsu asked him, "What are you doing?" And the teacher's reply was, "I'm polishing this tile to make a mirror." And the usual discussion of this interaction, this koan, is that in the same way that you can't really get a mirror out of polishing, that there's not a before and after, there's no tile that's polished very well and then it becomes a gleaming reflective mirror, in that same way we don't do zazen to become Buddha. That there's not a before, there's not an after. Dogen kind of resolves this, unifies this in a way that he says that polishing a tile is the only way to be a Buddha. Just, I think, in the same way that, you know, what gets us here? Is it, I think for me, you know, that copy of Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, without ever sitting on a cushion, got me here. I think coming here for the quiet, for the stillness, to understand the great matter, that's what got me here. And that's the only way that it became my life. That this zazen is my life. So that there really isn't a before or after. You know, when did zazen start for any of us? Did it start when you came for zazen instruction? Did it start because you'd started to read Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind? Were you moved by the faith tradition that you grew up in? Or by your parents or your grandparents' encouragement to follow a spiritual path? Did it start with their grandparents? There's this timelessness that we discover when we sit in zazen. It's not our exercise program that we do for 40 minutes each day. It is joining our life already in progress. It's once again settling into our life and experiencing the universe that is us, the in-breath, the out-breath. Reverend Isho Fujita comments on Zazen Shin. He visited Zen Center here a year or so ago, maybe in the spring, maybe less than a year or so ago, and did Zazen instruction. It was like Zazen yoga, a great exploration of all of the body and its relationship to this posture. And he did this commentary on Zazen Shin several years ago in the Buddha Dharma, in the Dharma Eye. In the study of Buddhism, there is a particular way to study the Dharma that must not be avoided, and that is, as long as we practice at all, we must exert ourselves to the utmost in Zazen, regardless of whether we are beginners or veteran practitioners. The fundamental point that must serve as the model and bastion for the practice of Zazen must be: the practice of Zazen, which is being a Buddha, without seeking to be a Buddha. The practice of being a Buddha, in other words, the practice of Zazen, is self-sufficient and complete of itself, and so it is not a practice to make an extra effort to newly become a Buddha from now on. So truth as it is, Catherine might say, so life as it is, with nothing whatever lacking, is manifesting itself as the conditions of right here and now. Zazen is already the actual practice of the Buddha by means of the body-mind, and so there is absolutely no room for the unnecessary intention to become a Buddha to enter in. We mustn't view the practice of Zazen as the cause and becoming a Buddha as the result by dividing the two into before and after. This is the non-interaction of sitting Buddha and becoming Buddha. At the same time, however, when we can let go of a dualistic way of thinking which works like a cage and net, catching and keeping birds and fish, and restricts our freedom, there isn't the slightest hindrance between sitting Buddha, which is Zazen, and becoming a Buddha. There is no problem at all in saying that sitting Buddha is becoming Buddha itself. And this is the interaction of a sitting Buddha becoming Buddha. Where can we hold both of these ideas, the non-interaction of sitting and becoming, and the interaction of sitting and becoming? Where do we hold this idea other than in our bodies, sitting? Where do we know these ideas? Not so much by really thinking about it. He gives the two Japanese terms for non-interaction and interaction. We don't know it not so much by exploring those words. We know it because it's in our body, because we sit with that breath after breath, moment by moment. And this is the clear knowing that the Buddha mentioned in the Mindfulness Sutra. This is the knowing not so much with concepts, but because it's our breath and our body, and it's with us, breath after breath. This is a great bracing warning with its cold, with its heat of the sun at the same time. And we can hold both of those opposites in our body. We've been doing it since 8:30 in the morning, holding those opposites in no other place than this body. So I'd like to get back to that experience of my life. And I am really enjoying sitting with all of you. Being thy numberless, I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow.